This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You can download the Bleck and Abdallah podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Download it today. That's where you can find our previous editions of Bulls Backstory. We do a segment each and every time Bleck and Abdallah host here on ESPN 1000. That's right, it's us. Fridays and Sunday mornings, we dedicate a segment to a specific story with the Jordan Bulls. And all of our Bulls backstories and all of the coverage of The Last Dance here on ESPN 1000 is presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. So Bulls backstory, we take one specific storyline, one highlight, and we kind of go into it in depth and kind of talk about it. In tonight's edition, we're actually going to give you a two-parter because there's so much to actually get into, and it's the rivalry of the Bulls and the Knicks from the early 90s. And Abdallah, one of the reasons why I really want to get into this as a two-part, so we are going to have two full segments on Bulls-Knicks here tonight on this Bulls backstory, is when I think back to the Jordan era, some of the best moments I have from the Jordan era Bulls and the championships are not necessarily from the championships themselves, but from against the New York Knicks and the rivalry between Chicago and New York. I get it. To some Bulls fans, the Pistons were the team. And once they beat the Pistons, they will never let go of the Detroit Pistons and the rivalry that the Bulls and the Pistons had.
Agree.
But the one thing that I really liked about the New York Knicks is I feel like it goes deeper than just a basketball rivalry. Because when you look at Chicago sports, White Sox, Yankees, Cubs, Mets, there's history there, right? Mm-hmm. Chicago Bears, New York Giants, history. Bulls, Knicks, Blackhawks, Rangers, there's history there, original six teams, right? And that's where I see Knicks and Bulls as being so important in league history and so important in Bulls fans' history, just because usually we're the second city. But it's sweet to beat New York.
I think, like, I have think of this because of our ages too, right? Like when it was Bulls Pistons, we were like 4 or 5 years old.
Sure.
You know, like a lot of that has to do with it too.
This was heyday of us watching
the NBA. I hate the Knicks. Like the Knicks, like one of my favorite moments in Bulls history is not even a Bulls moment. It's Scotty over Ewing. Like, it's Scottie Pippen dunking on Patrick Ewing. Like, that dunk is my favorite dunk of all time. Because it's the Knicks, because it's Patrick Ewing, because it's Scottie Pippen. Like, just everything that went into that. That's why I hate the Knicks more. Like, we talk about it with Bears-Packers a lot, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like and Bears-Vikings. To me, I dislike the Vikings a lot more than I dislike the Packers. Because when you're getting beat all the time, it's not much of a rivalry, right? Like to me, Bears Vikings is a bit of a rivalry. So to me, Bulls and Knicks is the bigger rivalry to me, mostly because of our age, and I remember more of these games than I do Pistons games.
It is a longer lifespan of the rivalry as well, Pistons Bulls, they went at each other a few playoff series, and it was tough. And they beat up on Jordan, and finally the Bulls beat them, and that was it with the Pistons, and it was dirty. The Knicks tried to use that style as well. But the Knicks and the Bulls, they met in four consecutive playoffs from 91 to 94. 95 they didn't meet, and then they met again in 96. So you get those five playoff series that get us to the point where when we look back, I wonder how many Bulls fans even know that in 91, the Bulls swept the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. You get to 92, the Bulls are champs, right? And they are looking to defend their crown. They go to seven games in round two against the New York Knicks. That was a second round series.
Yeah, that was Pat Riley's first year
Knicks. That wasn't a conference championship series. They go on to play the Cavs and beat the Cavs and then get on to the finals. So then you get to 93. And 93 is where you get two distinct moments that I feel like Bulls fans go back to, and they are worth noting when you look at this Bulls rivalry. Obviously, in the Last Dance that we've been watching, the episodes that aired last week, we saw the backstory on Michael Jordan and the Bulls losing games 1 and 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in 1993. And then you get the storyline about Michael Jordan going to Atlantic City. He then stops talking to the media. He then goes out and they win in game 3. The Bulls win that contest 103-83. So now the series is 2-1, Knicks with the lead. We then go to game 4 of that series, May 31st, 1993. Specifically for me, I remember that game because my birthday is the 31st, and I have a distinct moment of being 8 years old and watching that game. This game on my birthday, and it was incredible. Michael Jordan scores 54 points. Mm-hmm. He goes in 39 minutes, 18 for 30, 6 of 9 from 3, 12 of 14 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 54 points. And to me, this is one of the best games Michael Jordan played. The way he commanded this game and just took out the New York Knicks in this contest, it's something that has always stuck with me, was this game, game 4, Jordan scoring 54 in the conference finals against the New York Knicks.
And they needed all of them. I mean, you look at the Knicks, you know, Starks had 24, Ewing had 24. But you're right. As far as the Bulls go, like, this was the night that Jordan needed to score 54 because you really weren't getting much of anything else from the other Bulls players that night. But one of his best games as a Bull and one of his best games that series for sure. His best game that series for sure.
So here on Bulls Backstory, we like to listen to some clips to what it sounded
like.
Please
tell me you got the intro.
No intro for this online, but this is the end of the game. So you get to hear the final call and basically the setup, the recap of the game and Jordan's brilliance. And then because Jordan wasn't talking to the media, he didn't talk to Ahmad Rashad after the game. So instead you get B.J. Armstrong and Horace Grant afterwards. Here's Marv Albert.
A standing ovation for the Chicago Bulls, who have managed to bounce back with the two victories at home. Against Portland last year, the NBA playoff record of 7 by Chuck Person. Jordan also 12 out of 14 from the foul line, 6 rebounds, only 2 assists in contrast to the 11 that he had in game 3. But I think Phil Jackson will be delighted with what took place.
Some days you ride your guy when he's got to go, and today happened to be one of those days. Everybody else just fills in around him then.
Final Chicago 105. New York Knicks 95. Let's go to Ahmad Rashad.
All right, thanks, Marv. Well, as we know, Michael Jordan is not speaking to the press. He said he was going to let his play speak for himself, and his play pretty much did that today. BJ, as well as you guys plays, the New York Knicks kept hanging in there.
They did. They made some adjustments. They came out. They worked very hard. They played us right to the end. It was a good, hard-fought game, but I'm just glad we prevailed in the end.
How do you attribute your turnaround coming back here at home?
Well, it's the home crowd. It's the energy. It's the excitement. And it's just being familiar with the surroundings. So, you know, playing at home is a definite advantage for the home team, and hopefully we can go in there and sneak one on the road.
All right, and Horace, you started out, Charles Oakley, as you told me a couple of nights ago, Charles just kicked your butt the first couple of games, but you come back.
Well, I have a lot of pride, and when someone kicks my butt twice, it's going to be very hard for them to do it a third or fourth time. So I came out very aggressive, and I got the best of them in the last two ball games.
A different attitude going back to New York this time than when you went in the first time.
Now we're going in there with confidence, and we're going to get one, I guarantee it.
All right, good luck, you guys. Fine game today. All right, Marv, back to you.
Thanks, Ahmad. So Horace Grant with 14 points and 6 rebounds. B.J. Armstrong had 12 points. Michael Jordan with 54 of the Bulls' 105 points. He accounted for 51% of the offense. Final score again, the Chicago Bulls 105 and the New York Knicks 95. Tonight on NBC, the Fresh Prince of...
In a moment.
What episode of The Fresh Prince?
I don't know. I left it on there because I thought it was hilarious that they were that the game was so early that a fresh episode of The Fresh Prince was coming up next
coming
on NBC.
Up next, a fresh episode of The Fresh Prince.
Will Smith slept alone in his living room. Everyone moved out.
No. They wouldn't have gone to the series finale
May
like
sweeps?
That. That's not a series finale.
May sweeps?
No. That's
May 31st. You're telling me it's not sweeps on TV?
What kind of shenanigans will get into tonight?
Man, that was the best show. Okay, so then we continue on in this series, the 93 series, Bulls-Knicks, and the Bulls win game four. They win 105-95. The following night, the following game, June 2nd, game five, the Bulls win that contest 97-94. If you think back, one of the iconic Chicago Bulls moments between the Bulls and the Knicks took place at the end of game five.
To set a pick. Here's Starks, changed his mind. Plenty of time on the shot clock, down to 10. Ewing for Smith.
Smith. Now, if you think about your fandom, you're a Bulls fan, you're a Chicago sports fan,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a game-winning play, that was one of the all-time, like, yes! When that took place.
Yeah.
The multiple blocks, the arms flailing in the air,
well,
Jordan, Pippen, Horace Grant, denied, and the Bulls go on to win game five. They go on to then win the series in game six, but basically game four and game five of the 93 Eastern Conference Finals, Bulls-Knicks, two iconic moments in the rivalry.
And you're watching the Last Dance, and they're showing this this great defensive effort in glorious 4K now because they can do that with old footage.
Oh,
and
man.
You're watching the bench, the Bulls bench, like they're all sitting, and then they're all slowly standing up, and then it cuts to all the sad Knicks fans because it was in New York.
Yeah.
So you can hear the boos in that audio. You can see it from the Bulls bench how excited they were. Obviously, they won the game. And so, yeah, that's when you kind of knew. You're like, okay, well, the next game, they got the next game.
Yeah, and our coverage of The Last Dance is presented by Coors Light. Stay inside by your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. Our Bulls backstory on the Bulls and the Knicks continues next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Download previous editions of Bulls Backstory from Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Find the Black and Abdallah section. You can find podcasts on the Jordan Flu game, the Shrug game, the Bulls versus the Magic back in the playoffs, Steve Kerr's game winner in 1997, game six, the clinch, the fifth championship for the Chicago Bulls. And then we have an episode on Jordan switching hands against the Los Angeles Lakers in the 91 finals. So we are tonight on Bulls Backstory here on Black and Abdallah. We are taking a look at the rivalry between the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks. It spanned through many different playoff series. They met five times throughout the Jordan Bulls run in the 90s. Five times in the playoffs, and all the coverage here of Bulls Backstory and all the coverage of The Last Dance on ESPN 1000 is brought to you by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. So in the last segment, Abdallah, we took a look at the 1993 Eastern Conference Finals for the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks. The Bulls win that series. A lot of good moments. They go on to then win the championship against the Phoenix Suns. Mm. And then what took place is Michael Jordan retires. He leaves basketball. But yet the rivalry between the Bulls and the Knicks continues on.
That just doesn't go away.
Without Michael Jordan. Because the Knicks, a very good team. The Bulls, still very good. So if we look at the 94 playoffs, the New York Knicks, obviously, they get to the finals. And as you kind of look through the playoffs, the 94 playoffs, the Bulls in the first round, they beat the Cavs 3-0 to get out of the first round. The second round is when they face off against the New York Knicks. And this series goes seven games. A couple of interesting points to point out. In the first two games of the series, the Knicks win. They win the first contest 90-86 in game one. Game two, 96-91. Game three, the Bulls come back, though, and they win that game by 2 points, 104-102. And that's where we get the next part of the backstory with the Bulls and the Knicks. And it's Tony Kukoc hitting the shot with 1.8 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
A game winner in the old Chicago Stadium. One of the last great moments in that stadium before the United Center was built. And in this series, the story, not necessarily between the rivalry of the Bulls and the Knicks, but more the rivalry in the huddle before Tony Kukoc is told that the shot is being drawn up for him.
So the Bulls had a 19-point lead going into that quarter. The Knicks tied it with 1.8 seconds left, like you mentioned, on a Patrick Ewing hook shot. And then, Pippen famously refused to take the floor because, because Phil didn't drop a play for him.
Yeah, so if you look at the game overall, Pippen had 25 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists in 40 minutes. He went 10 of 20 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point land.
Mm-hmm.
18 points for B.J. Armstrong, 16 points for Horace Grant. Bill Cartwright had 14. Tony Kukoc off the bench had 8 points. He only played 13 minutes. 2 for 6 from the field, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Now, before we really dive into what actually happened, if you look at the stat sheet and you know the players on the court, and the way that Pippen was playing in that season, he was an MVP candidate.
You go to Pippen.
He was one of the best players in the league that season.
You go to Pippen.
Scottie Pippen's your guy.
You go to Pippen.
So here's one thing that I didn't pick up on until I was re-watching this game. I'm going to play the highlight here. The highlight you're going to hear is a shot attempt from Scottie Pippen on the previous possession. It is a terrible possession.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bad shot. Keep that in mind. And then the Knicks will come down, they'll score, and then you'll hear the Bulls inbound the ball.
The Knicks double-team Pippen. They're going 1-4 right now, looking for the spot-up off the dribble. The clock is at 6. Pippen with 3 on the shot clock. He's not going to get a good shot off. 2-1. No, they're going to call a violation. That is a shot clock violation. The Knicks with one timeout left have a chance to tie the basketball game and win it with a 3. Now remember, the Knicks have no timeouts remaining. None. So this is critical. You know that they want to try to get Ewing in this play. And start. There's Ewing. Ewing for the tie. He's got it with 1.8 left. A sensational play. And they call a timeout right as they brought the ball in. Can you believe what just happened? I cannot believe. Miami's inbound that ball to Scottie Pippen with 1.8 seconds to go rather than call a timeout when you had 3 timeouts remaining. Unbelievable. 1.8 left. No timeouts left for the Bulls. Myers triggers an inbounds pass. Kukoc for the win.
So Tony Kukoc saves the day. That game was on TNT back in the day. Hubie Brown on the call. So, okay. So Phil Jackson upset with Sky Pippen, not only because of that last possession and the terrible shot he took. The shot, they didn't say it on the play-by-play. He bricked it off the side of the glass. It was that bad.
Yeah.
Then you heard Hubie Brown confused to why Pippen was calling for the ball. Because Pip was trying to run up court with 1.8 to chuck up something.
Yeah, he wanted to play.
They had timeouts.
Yeah.
And so that's why I left that in there. Because Hubie points out, what are Pete Myers and Scottie Pippen doing there? So Pippen, to Phil Jackson's credit, it seemed as if Pippen was a bit in over his head at the end of this contest.
It looked like Pippen was still not confused, but affected by his brick. right? By the brick shot. And he was like, I got to redeem myself right now.
Like, he's one of the smartest players in NBA history, mm-hmm. but in the last 2 minutes of this game, he doesn't know what he's doing out there on the court. Okay, so great eyewitness reporter Brad Palmer on the scene for ABC7 the next day. Live report from Bulls practice.
Channel 7's Brad Palmer has the story.
Phil Jackson believes Scottie Pippen's defection was the culmination of a number of frustrating incidents leading up to Patrick Ewing's game-tying basket with less than 2 seconds left in the game. The Bulls called a timeout and designed a play for Tony Kukoc. Scottie Pippen refused to go back in. Instead, he went to the end of the bench, necessitating a second timeout. Pippen and Jackson got into a cussing match, but Scottie still refused to budge.
It wasn't pretty much Phil taking me out of the game. It was like, we exchanged words and I just took a seat.
So it was your decision based on frustration?
Excuse me?
Scottie, Phil just said you weren't in because you asked Adel to play.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or you weren't in to involve the news.
Exactly.
When you say exchange words, what happened?
I have no comments on that.
But the Bulls survived without Scottie. Tony Kukoc hit a 22-footer to win it for the Bulls. And later, Pippen admitted it was a well-called play by Jackson.
Scottie Pippen met briefly with reporters today, but only to talk about the game, not the incident. When somebody said, where do you and Phil Jackson go from here? Scottie said, game four, and promptly departed. A little later, Phil Jackson stopped by and tried to defuse the whole issue.
Scottie chose not to go on the court last night for his own specific reason. I put in a better passer in Pete Myers. Besides, Scotty had a fat lip and looked ugly at that spot. And we got the job accomplished, and that's all that matters to us right now.
He talked to us all and let us know where he was standing and how he's feeling and apologized to everyone for just the incident in general. Not that anything was done wrong or anything, just the whole incident was, he apologized. And that's basically all that needed to be said.
Well, the Bulls are doing all they can to put a positive spin on this. Actions certainly speak louder than words. If Scottie and the Bulls come up big in Game 4, all of this will quickly blow over. But if they don't, we could be feeling the aftershocks for some time to come. From Deerfield, Brad Palmer, Channel 7 Eyewitness News.
How about that? The quote from Phil Jackson.
Fat lip out there, man.
He looked ugly.
Look, it's
not saying. That was also Bill Wennington at the end talking about Scotty talking to his teammates.
It's a moment that a lot of people point to when they're critical of Scottie Pippen and his tenure with the Chicago Bulls. It's that. It's the migraine. It's the surgery. It's all of that combined that you kind of just go, yeah, Pippen's great. But there are a few instances where he was, which some say, and what Mike and what Jordan said during the last dance, selfish.
You know, I found that Brad Palmer report on YouTube after I watched the game. And I'm glad that I did find that because Palmer hits home exactly what we were talking about before, is if you watch the end of the game, there were a lot of confusing plays from Scottie Pippen, mm-hmm. and that's why Brad Palmer led with that like, Phil Jackson was making it known that the reason he was not happy with Scottie wasn't because he just doesn't want him to take the last shot. He was unhappy with his play down the stretch with all the stupid mistakes he was making.
Maybe it was on the migraine.
So the Bulls win that game 104-102. Then they go to game four. They win that contest 95-83. Okay, the series, 2-2. This is a series. The Knicks then win game 5, 87-86. Then we get to game 6. And to be honest, when you look at the Bulls-Knicks rivalry, because they do play one more time in 1996 in the second round, the Bulls won that series 4-1. To be honest, I don't have any distinct memories as a Bulls fan from that 96-4-1 beatdown of the mm-hmm. Bulls and the Knicks.
Yeah.
So to me, in game 6 of the 94 series is the last iconic moment of the Bulls and the Knicks. And Abdallah, you mentioned earlier, it's the dunk Pippen over Patrick Ewing. In this contest, the Bulls win 93-79, ties the series up 3 games apiece. They go back to the Garden for game 7. The Bulls eventually lose the contest. But in this game, Scottie was good. Pippen was good. Scottie had 13 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. He was everywhere. The Bulls were led in scoring by B.J. Armstrong, 16 points from Horace Grant. The New York Knicks led in scoring by Patrick Ewing, 26 points, 14 rebounds, 18 points from John Starks. But really, the moment we remember is this.
Shot clock at 6. Davis. Oakley rejected by Grant. Myers for Pippen. Oh, a faithful Scotty Pippen in the face of Patrick Ewing, who did not appreciate it. But you know, John, looking at this from afar, this is what the Knicks do to the Bulls and do to opponents, game in and game out, and Pippen just served it up in the same manner.
That was the Bulls' answer to John Stark's spectacular dunk last year. And he hovered over Ewing for a second, and Patrick didn't like it, as any player wouldn't like.
And Pippen was called for a technical foul. You really see Scottie Pippen get involved in that matter, but it is a reaction to the Knick personality.
It's unbelievable what's happened in 1 week. Scottie Pippen crawled out of Chicago Stadium last week. You know, he felt like a bad guy, which he was, after his conduct. 1 week later, to the full support of the Chicago Stadium, Scottie Pippen is riding high. We'll go back to that Pippen spectacular dunk over Ewing. Patrick fell down. Looks like Pippen added a little bit. Then he enjoyed it for a moment.
Enjoyed it for a moment. Pippen, who was a bad guy.
So if you watch this, like if you break this, playing that, I'm breaking this Zapruder film style. I'm breaking this frame by frame. He goes to push Ewing down. Even as he's falling to try to get that little, that's what he said there at the end of the highlight with a little extra something.
Yeah.
Goes to, misses because Ewing's already falling, walks over him, and then, as he's walking off, makes sure he stops by Spike Lee and points at him, and I don't know what he said, but taunts him and makes sure he gets a few words into Spike Lee, who's telling him, "You're a bad guy. You just get out of here." Is what it looked like Spike was saying to him. But ultimately, it's easily the most disrespectful dunk I've ever seen. It's the best in-game dunk because of the when you dunk on someone, it's disrespectful. Like when you dunk on someone, you put them on a poster like that. It's amazing. And given what was going on, given the rivalry, given the time in the game, in the playoffs, and all that kind of stuff, given that moment in time, to me, it's the most disrespectful thing I've seen on a basketball court.
And then they go to Game 7. The Knicks win. Then they move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They beat the Pacers in 7 games. They go to the NBA Finals and then lose the Houston Rockets in 7 games for the 1994 title. The Last Dance, which airs on Sunday night. Last Dance Mondays here on ESPN 1000 are presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.